are going to talk about the teacher shortage this hour, nationally and here in Wisconsin. We'll try to figure out why this is happening and what's needed to solve the issue. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We will be talking with two different guests during the hour. Our first guest is the co-author of a new study, A Coming Crisis in Teaching, Teacher Supply, Demand, and Shortages in the U.S. And later in the hour, we will be welcoming in a UW-Madison education professor to talk about more on how this is playing out in the state of Wisconsin. And we want to hear from you. I realize that most teachers are teaching right now and are unavailable to participate live in our discussion. We do have some Facebook comments from teachers who posted earlier, and we will try to share those during the hour. If you are a teacher who can call us, we would love to hear from you about why you think so many states, including Wisconsin, are facing teacher shortages. We'd also like to hear from you if you're a former teacher. Why are you a former teacher? Why did you leave the profession? And everyone else, what do you think? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Linda Darling Hammond, the president of the Learning Policy Institute and the Charles E. Ducommun Professor of Education Emeritus at Stanford University. She is the faculty director of the Stanford Center for Opportunity Policy and Education. She is also the co-author of a recent Learning Policy Institute report, A Coming Crisis in Teaching, Teacher Supply, Demand, and Shortages in the U.S. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, do we have a crisis coming? Is that for sure, or is that still a question?
Well, the way that shortages are emerging differs across the country, depending on the salaries and working conditions in different states and the number of institutions that are preparing teachers. But certainly there are shortages appearing in many, many places. And the other part of the question mark is what kind of policies we will put in place to address these shortages, whether we can, in fact, avert a full-blown crisis.
Yeah, so how bad is the teacher shortage in the country?
Well, we estimate that in the last year, we were short about 60,000 teachers for the positions that were being advertised in terms of people qualified in the subject areas where the vacancies were posted. That means that districts are hiring people who are not prepared to teach. In Utah, they actually eliminated the requirement that teachers meet certification requirements to be hired. We have some places where they're just expanding class sizes or canceling courses or programs when they can't find the people they need.
Are there certain subject areas that are most affected by the shortage, or is it overall?
Well, special education is a severe shortage in 49 states, plus the District of Columbia. Mathematics and science in more than 40 states. Teachers of bilingual education and English learners in more than 30 states. So those are some of the places where it's showing up the most.
Yeah, so why are we facing this shortage?
Well, over the last couple of decades, teacher salaries have been declining, and working conditions since the recession have been worse. We had significant cutbacks in a lot of states because of the recession, and in fact, teachers were being laid off. And so that certainly wasn't an encouragement for young people to go into teaching at that point in time. Class sizes grew, supplies and materials became more scarce, and we are now coming out of the recession with demand to hire teachers. There are many fewer in the pipeline, many fewer applying for these jobs who would return from the reserve pool, and the conditions for teaching are behind those of other occupations and professions.
So which teachers are we having trouble holding on to or not attracting at all?
Well, we mentioned the shortage areas by subject area. We have higher shortages typically in urban areas and sometimes in poor rural districts. Teachers of color are leaving at higher rates and are harder to hold on to. And then, of course, teachers in math and science not only are harder to get, but they stay a shorter period of time, as do special education teachers.
Yeah. What regions of the U.S. are faring the best or the worst?
New England is faring the best. The turnover rates are much lower there, and some of the western states are doing reasonably well. That's generally because their salaries and working conditions are higher, and they have enough teacher education institutions to provide supply. The South and some parts of the Midwest are suffering, in particular urban areas in the Midwest and in the South are having the hardest time filling vacancies. And then some western states, I have to mention Arizona in particular.
Any reason for the discrepancies geographically?
We have very different conditions for teaching across the country. Entering teacher salaries in 2013 were only $27,000 in Montana. They were closer to $45,000 in some of the higher spending states. So big differences in school funding, whether that funding is equitable across districts so that poor districts can compete in the labor market for teachers, big differences in working conditions, and in the kinds of management in schools that cause teachers to want to stay or go. Teachers will leave if they feel that the principal is not supportive, if they feel that they don't have input into decision making, if they don't have a collaborative, collegial situation in which to work. Those are all things that drive teachers out, and they vary from district to district and state to state.
Yeah. So how does Wisconsin, or the Midwest for that matter, how are we faring?
Well, Wisconsin is kind of in the middle of the pack, not doing, not having as much of a problem as some other places, but there are some, as in many other places, there are some shortfalls in some of those content areas and in some districts, including some urban districts. You may have some, we don't know the details of the small rural districts, but you may have some issues in remote districts as well.
Yeah. So what problems do we know are emerging from the shortage?
Well, we know that particularly in high minority, high poverty districts, the number of teachers being hired without full preparation to teach, and sometimes without any preparation to teach, is increasing. The rates of hiring of those teachers are much higher in districts that serve the students with the greatest needs. This is a big problem for the achievement gap because it not only creates lower achievement, it often also creates higher turnover, which is a further depression on achievement. And we also know that there are people trying to implement new standards. There are efforts to improve, for example, the quality of math teaching in the country. That's very hard to do when you have a hard time finding fully prepared math teachers. So it's slowing down some of those instructional improvement efforts.
How is this affecting our teachers?
Well, you know, teachers are always happiest and most able to do their work when they have colleagues who are stable, where they've worked together to figure out the practices in the school and the ways in which the curriculum fits together, and they've got certain kinds of strategies that everyone is using. And so it's hard on teachers when there's a lot of turnover or there's difficulty in recruitment. It's also hard on teachers when there are shortages of principals, which we also see, because that kind of turnover is also a big problem for the stability and ongoing improvement in a school.
I'm Joy Cardine talking with Linda Darling Hammond, president of the Learning Policy Institute. She's also a professor of education emeritus at Stanford University. She is one of the co-authors of the recent report, A Coming Crisis in Teaching, Teacher Supply, Demand, and Shortages in the U.S. And she'll be with us for another few minutes if you have a question or a comment for her on the national teacher shortage. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Coming up in about 5 minutes or so, we will welcome in UW-Madison education professor Michael Apple to talk more about how this is playing out in Wisconsin and what we need to do to solve our teacher shortage. Jeremy in Wausau is with us. Hi, Jeremy.
Hello. How are you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
I just have a comment to make. I'm a special ed teacher. Currently, I work with severe autistic kids, and I also have a part-time thing with I'm working with EBD kids. My license is coming up this current year, and I'm actually in the process of considering not renewing my license, primarily for many, many reasons. The number one reason that I have is the in the state, I'm kind of viewed as an enemy, so to speak, and in my community, if you mention you're a teacher, you're almost like, oh, you must have it easy or however, you know, whatever the current rhetoric is. And then on top of that, you know, the process of getting my license renewed through DPI is so cumbersome, and it takes all my time up, and then you know the speed at which they're getting back to me is so slow, and it's not worth all the effort of going through all the process of getting my license renewed to have a job where you know psychologically I'm being assaulted every single day.
Thank you for calling, Jeremy. Are we seeing this that the profession is not necessarily respected? Teachers feel they're under attack, Professor Darling Hammond?
Yes, I think that is a common concern across the country. We've had sort of a decade of what some people have called teacher bashing, the view from some in the political arena that teachers are the cause of all of school problems, you know, without taking into account all of the growth in child poverty and homelessness and other things that have plagued our society over recent decades. And the view that, you know, just if you would just fire the bad teachers, everything would get better. So that has been a very tough political environment. Wisconsin has actually been one of the states where the politics has been particularly challenging. It's not true in every state, but certainly that is something that teachers are responding to. The other thing we found in our study was that many teachers are leaving in part because of the accountability pressures that No Child Left Behind, the federal education law, produced. It focused on test scores and targets for improving test scores every year and sanctions and consequences for teachers and schools in relation to that. So that environment is very different than in other countries that have a higher level of support and respect for teachers, and it has been a factor, I think, in many places in driving teachers out, and that's what teachers said in the surveys that we reviewed.
Yeah. You don't know about the process to renew your license as a special education
teacher? Well, yeah, sometimes, licensing rules can be also cumbersome. And again, that varies from state to state. But one of the things that does drive teachers out is even trying to get their license accepted in a new state. And I can imagine that in some states there is a cumbersome process for renewal. That's something that any state could work to fix. To make it easier for the teachers we have to stay. And by the way, that's one of the most important things we can do to solve the shortage, because our attrition rates in teaching in the U.S. are much higher than in many other countries. And if we could just reduce the leaving of teachers before retirement for the variety of reasons that they leave, we would not have a shortage. We would, in fact, be in a very different position.
So how do we do that?
Well, it's a combination of things we were just talking about, respecting teachers, making it easy for people to stay. Obviously, the licensing is only a part of that, but not blaming teachers for all of the ills of society, communicating the appreciation that we need to feel for teachers, making sure that they're well-trained principals who know how to create these productive learning environments for people to work in, paying teachers a competitive wage with other occupations. All of those are things that will make a difference.
Yeah. So are you hopeful we can address the shortfall?
I think we can. There certainly are states that are doing it already. I think part of it is getting a very purposeful set of policies. We have seen, and we gave examples in our report, of states that have in the past solved this problem by making the right kind of investments in preparation and mentoring for teachers, as well as salaries and training and working conditions. And we see that where the states take this on, they can turn it around pretty quickly. So it's not an insolvable problem if we have the will to tackle it.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Linda Darling Hammond is the president of the Learning Policy Institute. She's a professor of education emeritus at Stanford University. And she is one of the co-authors of this recent report from the Learning Policy Institute, A Coming Crisis in Teaching, Teacher Supply, Demand, and Shortages in the U.S. We're going to take a short break, and then we're going to welcome in another guest. Michael Apple from UW-Madison will join us to talk more about the teacher shortage and what it means and how to solve it. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking about the teacher shortage in this country and in Wisconsin now in particular, and wondering what you think, what questions you have. Are you a retired teacher? Why did you retire? Has your region of the state been affected by the teacher shortage? What's your experience with this? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our next guest is Michael Apple. He is the John Bascom Professor of Curriculum and Instruction and Educational Policy Studies at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. It's good to be back on the show.
It's good to have you back. So what we heard from our first guest about this this national report on the national teacher shortage, she said Wisconsin was kind of in the middle of the pack and compared to all other states, yes, experiencing a shortage. What specifically in Wisconsin do you think led to our state's teacher shortage?
Well, this is a it's a complicated kind of thing. First, I'm glad you had Linda on the show. She happens to be a friend of mine, and so I know her work quite well, and she's very talented about these kinds of issues. Wisconsin is facing what looks like a middle-of-the-pack issue, but it will now get much worse. Large portions of teachers are nearing retirement. The average half-life of a teacher, meaning how long they stay, has gone down. So it used to be a career. It is now, for many people, a temporary job. So there's the demographic issue. There's also the effects of Act 10. And Linda mentioned this, but Wisconsin has been in the forefront of attacking teacher unions, of making it much harder for teachers to keep up with inflation, and also an immense amount of disrespect that has gone on, the attacks by the legislature that have gotten a good deal of play aimed in some ways, and I understand this, at a particular kind of political demographic, but it's had a major effect on the way in which teachers feel in Wisconsin. There's also the crisis in rural areas, as rural schools themselves have a downturn in jobs. The economy is not as robust as it might be. And because of that, many, many teachers are feeling disconnected from communities, and worried that maybe their schools will consolidate and that many schools will be closing. And that's actually happening in a number of rural districts. So it's a complicated story here.
Yeah. What do you say, Professor Apple, to those who say there was no war on teachers in particular or teacher bashing specifically? It was the teachers' union that the Republican policies were targeting.
It's not just teacher unions. It's the public sector in general. So let me give an example. The pension plan for state workers in Wisconsin is the most robust and the most profit-generating of any in the country. The attempt is to privatize that, and that has been on the legislator's mind and the governor's mind for a large number of years. So we have to then connect this. It's not just the attack on teachers' unions, but unions in general, and the entire idea that government should be there to serve the people. And we've seen a redefinition of who the people are. So the people now largely that get favored are what are called job creators, that is the corporate and business sector. I have nothing against them. But what that has meant is also that anything that is not private is seen as sort of a drain on resources, and anything that is private, by definition, is good and perfect. So there is that. But also we have to understand that words are not always controlled by the people who make them. So people in the legislature and others might say, no, we don't. We just want to get rid of bad teachers, and we want to rein in the expenses of local school districts. And in many rural communities where farm taxes are very high, there is this great crisis of people saying, I know that teachers may deserve higher salaries, but I'm in danger of losing my farm because taxes are going up. Now, what that means is that the words may come out saying, we're not teacher bashing, we just want to do in the union or make ourselves more efficient. But the effects of that are well beyond anything that I would hope that the legislature and others dream about.
Governor Walker has said that Wisconsin's teacher shortage is similar to other states, and he doesn't believe that the collective bargaining elimination under Act 10 is to blame. What's your take on that?
Well, I think that the governor needs to speak to some teachers and administrators in local districts. So I've been in close contact, for instance, with rural districts in the northern part of the state, as well as some urban districts in the eastern part of the state. And in rural districts, when I speak to teachers and administrators, they are going crazy right now. They're on the phone constantly trying to convince teachers to move to the northern part of the state as people decide that that's not the place, unfortunately, since it's a gorgeous part of the state, that they want to be, that salaries are low. They feel as if that they have no power to adjudicate these kinds of things. And constantly on teachers' minds is Act 10. Now, whether it's the direct cause, that's a different issue. I think part of it is, but it's also the psychological effect. And when Linda Darling-Hammond mentioned this feeling among teachers that they're being disrespected, most teachers go into teaching not to get rich. That's never been the case. Most of them are deeply committed to our children and our communities. And the idea that one doesn't need a union, or to quote someone from the legislature, that teachers are free agents in the same way football team players are free agents, is to misconstrue why teachers are involved in this. So teachers are community members. Most of them live near or in the communities. This is a place that they feel deeply connected to. And this idea that they should just up and leave, and there's no collective responsibility that goes with that, I think, again, totally misreads the life of a teacher.
Yeah. The report was called a coming crisis in teaching, question mark. You think that crisis is coming?
Well, again, I think Professor Darling-Hammond was correct in that it depends on the state. Wisconsin, again, if you look statistically, is about in the middle. But as I mentioned, I think it will worsen dramatically. But the crisis is not simply about a teacher shortage. It's who gets to be a teacher, how they're trained, how they're educated, etc. Let me give an example of this. The University of Wisconsin-Madison, where I teach, has one of the highest-rated undergraduate teacher education programs in the nation, and deservedly so. A lot of dedicated folks. We get people who have among the highest grade point averages in the United States, and certainly at the university. It's the equivalent of people in computer science and physics and the business school. It's very, very high, and these people are quite dedicated. For the 100 to 150 placements we have for people coming in to enroll in our teacher education program as undergraduates, we used to get 400 applicants. We are now down to 150. So we're beginning to see that while right now the teacher shortage doesn't look quite as robust in Wisconsin, we're really going to face a situation in which many, many thousands of people say, why would I want to be a teacher? And it's not just over salary. It's a feeling like no one, it is the hardest work I can imagine, the emotional labor of being a teacher. Teachers make 10,000 decisions every day about kids. It's a remarkable statistic. And what may be happening is what used to be called burnout, which is a bad phrase, but just this feeling that no one really cares, that parents are interested only in their children, which is ethically correct, but what about what's called other people's children, that teachers, are, as Linda said, are being blamed for everything in the possible world, and this feeling that they have to look over their shoulders constantly because almost anything they do will be criticized.
We are talking with Michael Apple, who is the John Bascom Professor of Curriculum and Instruction and Education Policy Studies at UW-Madison, talking with him about this recent report on the teacher shortage nationally and how it breaks down state to state, talking about Wisconsin in particular with him and what's needed to solve this problem. Welcoming your questions and your experiences at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Let's go to Tina in Green Bay first. Hi, Tina.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Just a couple comments and then a question. My husband is a special ed teacher. He's been for 11 years, and he's actually maybe going to be the last year he's going to teach. We're really seriously thinking of looking outside of the teaching field for him next year, and it's really sad that we need to do that. We've been part of this community our whole lives and possibly even going to sell the house and move out of state because of everything going on. One other thing is there's no evaluation system set up for teachers, nothing statewide, nothing for raises. So every district is on their own, and where my husband works, there's actually nothing. He hasn't had evaluation in almost 4 years. So how do you do incentives for teachers, which our governor keeps saying, well, they can do it, you know, you can incentivize them if you don't ever get evaluated on your work. How do you do that? And lastly, my question is, I'd love the professor to tell the public about what teachers actually have to do to become teachers, because I don't think people understand. And by them saying now in the state, well, you know, if you have experience, you can be a teacher, I don't think they really understand what a teacher does to get educated, how much schooling they have, and how they have to keep their licensing up with continuing ed.
Professor Apple?
Well, the two issues, the number, again, the caller, I think, is quite insightful. One is the evaluation systems. That's constantly changing. Many of the people who are saying that if we could just get rid of, in quotes, bad teachers, everything would be fine, have called for a particular kind of evaluation system. It's also part of President Obama's system. That's something I actually disagree with quite profoundly, and that is performance pay. And that's largely based on test scores. So in many states, in order to get federal money or state money, they have imposed an evaluation system that basically says the amount of test scores raised that your students make over the year will determine what your pay is. Now, if that's the kind of evaluation system that gets imposed, that's a disaster. Since when I've spoken to teachers throughout the United States, and many countries, by the way, are using it now following the United States without understanding how contentious it is here, when I've spoken to teachers nationally and internationally, it's what I mentioned before, teachers are constantly looking over their shoulders. So their kids will even ask, will this be on the final examination? Because it's high stakes for kids, high stakes for parents, and very high stakes for teachers. So the issue that the caller is raising is very important. What kind of evaluation system will be put in place that is respectful, that understands that teachers are asked to compensate for poverty, for food loss, for lack of health care, for community disarray, for families that have lost jobs and are now homeless? And we've asked teachers to do all of this at the same time as we're letting go teacher aides, school counselors, etc., in many urban districts and rural districts. So we have to put in place something that evaluates teachers on the whole range of things. I'll give an example. In many school districts right now, it is against administrative rules to touch a child. I understand why that's the case, but I was in a school working with some teachers on some new curriculum, and a kid whose grandmother had died was just sobbing in the classroom. Came to school because she needed stability, but the teacher hesitated about hugging her and giving her solace. Now, this is, we've created a situation where we forget what it's like to be a human being with 30 other people, all of whom have a range of emotions, cultures, languages, etc. Now, that points to the second issue that the caller raised, and that is how to become a teacher. So think about the rapid growth of knowledge in mathematics, science, computers, etc. And we expect teachers to know all of that. We expect teachers appropriately to know about the history of Wisconsin and treaty rights and the cooperative movement and the valued and marvelous history of this state. And we expect them also to know all about psychology, about special needs kids, about evaluation. We used to have funding for elementary teacher certification here that basically allowed us to have a 5-year undergraduate program. The legislature, in its attempt to save money, and again, I understand the reasons for that, has said we will only fund degrees that are for 4 years. Well, at the same time, as there's more mandates, more needs that teachers have for skills, so teachers often are funding themselves for extra coursework, where school districts used to pay for that. Now teachers who get a master's degree so that they up their skills have to pay for it themselves. Many school districts no longer give you extra money for re-educating yourself. So I think that we have to understand that this problem is vast, and it's about economics as well as other kinds of things.
Yeah, we're coming up on our break time, but talk a little bit more about how the shortage or philosophy in the state has affected teacher licensing in Wisconsin. Tina, sounds like you have a fire alarm.
Yes, I apologize for this, but this means that I have to go outside.
You have to evacuate. So you know what? This is a good time for break. So we will take our break now, and then we will get Professor Apple on his cell phone outside of the building where he is that's conducting a fire alarm right now. And we will talk about the teacher shortage and how that's affecting Wisconsin and how that's affecting teachers, how that's affecting students, and wonder what you think and what experiences you have. What do we do about this? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Wisconsin, like other states, is facing a troubling teacher shortfall. We are talking about how this affects teachers and students and what is needed in terms of policy and community support to address the shortage. We would love to hear from you if you are a teacher able to call in. We realize many teachers are teaching right now. Maybe you're a former teacher. Maybe you got out of the teaching profession. Why is that? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. And we would... we'd love to know what you think should happen to address this shortage. What would encourage more people to enter the teaching profession? We're still trying to get our guest back, Professor Apple, who is the John Bascom Professor of Curriculum and Instruction and Education Policy Studies at UW-Madison. But as we are getting him back, let's take a few calls. Chan in Mauston is with us. Hi, Chan.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. What is your comment?
Well, thank you for taking my call. I am a graduate of UW-LaCrosse with an English degree. My next step was going to go into teaching. This was just before 2010. My wife is a school teacher in Mauston. And so we saw firsthand the effects that politics have had on teaching. And we have a daughter with Down syndrome who is going into the teaching profession. And so we have a lot of concerns about teaching, and we've seen a lot of things happen within our school and within other teachers. And I want to just, give you my appreciation for bringing this topic to light. We have seen teachers leave and go over to Minnesota, where they make more money, have better benefits, and are treated better. And, part of it is just treating those teachers with that respect for what they do and understanding what they do. I see my wife come home all the time just depressed and sad for her job. She doesn't enjoy what she does. I don't know if I would enjoy it if I chose to go back into that. It's kind of a discouraging profession. And then it just gets worse and worse as they make cuts to grants and increase class sizes and expectations on teachers, cut down their prep time. Already this school year, she's had to go in every weekend and work all day on Saturday just to keep up for the next week.
Yeah. So thank you, Chan, for sharing your story. We do have Michael Apple back, and I think, Professor Apple, you were able to hear some of Chan's story about his wife's concerns and sadness over how her profession has changed and the pressures on her. And I guess that's probably not an uncommon story.
No, it's not. And again, I apologize for having to leave the callers on the hooks, so to speak, but there was an evacuation drill. So I'm now in another building on my cell phone. First of all, there is no doubt that this is a story that I hear all the time, but the resilience of teachers must be stressed. I mean, even in the face of this, I know I don't think I know a teacher who is not continually just dedicated. But we have to understand that this vision that teachers' lives are somehow easy, it's an easy job. The average work week of a teacher is a minimum of 58 hours a week. I know teachers and administrators that are working on Saturdays and Sundays. A close relative of mine who is a principal of a school in the north of Wisconsin is going in every weekend and is in school every night. And as he walks out, there are still teachers there. So we have to remember that this is, this is not simply something that is easy for people to deal with, because the disrespect that's shown has other kinds of effects. That is a lack of appreciation, a sense that their dedication is not seen, it's not made visible. And for that, I think one of the solutions, at least a partial solution, is not just changing teachers' conditions immediately in schools over pay, over working conditions, but also the media has a role to play in this. Many, many media, thank goodness not the WPR, but many media seem to delight in stories about how public schools are failing, how teachers don't work very hard, and it's almost like they are a microphone for particular ideological forms. And that's a disaster, not just in terms of what's going on with schools, but in the lives of teachers. And again, I hear the story that Chan says constantly.
You know, I meant to ask you just before our break and your evacuation, our caller before that was mentioning how frustrating it is to that she doesn't think people realize all the time and effort that people put into teacher education and doing the job. Licensing of teachers has changed in Wisconsin due to the shortage. Now you don't necessarily, I don't know, somebody who's an expert in something can become a teacher.
Sure, and some of this has got some of the proposals were, but to speak honestly, simply ludicrous. The idea, for instance, that an elementary school teacher, anyone who had completed a secondary school, could somehow get an emergency license. Thank goodness that was changed. But this has to be seen in the context of larger changes in teacher licensure throughout the United States, and that is things like Teach for America, the privatization of teacher education, the assumption, like with TFA, Teach for America, that 6 to 8 weeks in the summer and then being placed usually in one of the in an urban area or a rural area that is very, very high poverty and high need, that somehow just throwing someone who is dedicated and has a high GPA from a good university will do very, very well with students. There is very, very little evidence to support that. In fact, there's evidence to suggest that that is strikingly ineffective in many, many areas. So many school districts are being forced now to turn to people who have almost no teacher education whatsoever. And as I mentioned in my comments earlier, nothing, you know, teaching has become ever more complicated with more skills needed, more knowledge needed, more understanding needed. So we're filling our we're at risk of filling our classrooms with people who are smart, but who signed contracts, for instance, for 2 years, and for a large portion of them, after the 2 years is up, they go to law school or they go to work in the commercial sector, et cetera. What we don't need is people there where it's 2 years and then they're out. And that's, again, part of the problem with the way we're thinking about licensure right now.
Fred in Palmyra is with us. Hello, Fred.
Hey, good morning. It's been a long time, Joy, since I phoned you.
Well, I'm glad you called.
Earlier, I heard your guest say that it's harder to for the teachers to keep up with inflation. And my question was, I was wondering about how the spiraling health care costs that increase the teachers' premiums for the insurance that they carry has discouraged teachers from staying in the profession because it erodes their paycheck.
Yeah. Well, what about that, Professor Apple?
There are some data on this. So I'm not an expert on that, but again, I'll have to go by what teachers are saying and what school board members have told me and administrators of local districts. And that is, school districts are being pressed financially, some horrifically, especially many very poor rural districts and farm areas and in some urban districts. And the cost of health care has gone up. And so they're faced with a sort of devil's choice. Do we give a raise or do we keep health care? So what many school districts are doing are turning to much higher deductible health care insurance. And that is not good at all, especially for teachers who are mid-career, et cetera, and whose salaries have not kept up for years and years, and then realize that they are getting health problems themselves, or for young teachers who have new families, and for the first time they have to cover one or two children. Remember, it's not just teachers you're talking about, it's teachers' families. So there's no doubt, I think the caller is correct, that that has some impact. How much of an impact, I can only work off of anecdotal.
And I know that you have to leave us in just a minute or so. What do you think policymakers in Wisconsin need to do to address the teacher shortage and in the future?
Well, first of all, I think we have to have an honest discussion that includes not just the business community and not just what are called the taxpayers, but just about everyone. That is, I want public forums throughout the state in which teachers have full and robust voices, where students themselves who are facing some of the problems with higher class sizes, et cetera, participating in this, and not just parents, but community members, especially in those communities in rural and urban parts of Wisconsin that are facing this crisis. So the first thing is to publicize it and make it visible. And I think solutions will come from below, just as much as they come from above. So I prefer the first step to have a robust conversation so that people understand what is at stake and not just what's reported in the newspapers.
And we will let you get to your other class, and I hope we talk again once these forums might be underway.
Very good. Anytime, Joy.
Michael Apple, John Bascom, Professor of Curriculum and Instruction and Education Policy Studies at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. So let's start the forum right now. What's it like being a teacher? What's good about it? What's not so good about it? What needs to happen to improve the teacher shortage, improve conditions for teachers in Wisconsin to make the profession attractive to address this shortage? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You get to have the last say during the last few minutes of the program. Anne in Duluth, Minnesota, what do you think?
Well, I used to teach in Wisconsin, and I have to say, since Governor Walker took office and all the subsequent changes, I'm sure glad I don't anymore, but unfortunately, I didn't listen to most of the show. But I did run into a young guy yesterday at our food co-op who has teaching certification who said he will apply in every state but Wisconsin. He does not want to work in Wisconsin.
Yeah. And what would make him want to work in Wisconsin, Ann?
Well, I'm sure if he was allowed to participate in a teacher's union and have some say-so in what was happening in terms of his class, environment, his benefits, his pay, et cetera, he'd be more amenable.
Thank you very much for sharing that. Mark in Appleton, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Just a couple quick points. I do not teach at public school level. I teach at the college level. But if you talk to public school teachers, they're all very frustrated with dealing with parents and administrators who undercut the teacher when dealing with parents. Parents are seen more as customers than as focusing on the child. And then the other thing is, if you want to do evaluation, you can't do it through test scores. I think the best way, college level, we do a lot of peer evaluation, and in other countries where they have good school systems, they do a lot of peer evaluation, which means other teachers go in and observe. But that takes release time. It takes a lot of money, and we're not willing to put in that money to evaluate our teachers.
Thank you very much, Mark. Kelly on Facebook says, as an elementary teacher in a high-poverty school, I see this often. There is a high turnover in teachers and administration. A solution to the shortage will not be one simple answer, and I feel as though that is what many people outside the profession look for. A solution will need to include government and communities and teachers and principals, parents, and the students themselves. That being said, I can't help but put that a raise in salaries would help some. I work three jobs, one of which is during my summer off, in quotes, and the other is during my longer holiday vacations. Elaine in Colfax is with us now. Hi, Elaine.
Hi. I was asked to teach some homeschool kids. I have a degree in art, and I was teaching art, and it was so hard. I had no idea what I was doing. Some kids were there prepared. Some were goofing off. One kid left the room, and I had to follow him, and I didn't know what to do with the kids that were in the room. And I have tremendous respect for what it takes to handle a large group of diverse children. And I quit because I knew I couldn't do it right. And I had an education in art, a Bachelor of Fine Arts. I knew what I was talking about, but the whole conveying the information to a group of people was completely beyond me.
Thank you very much. Well, the conversation I hope will continue. You can continue it on Facebook, on the Drake Herdeen Show Facebook page, and we will do more shows on this in the future. Thanks very much to both of our guests, not only Professor Apple from UW-Madison, but earlier in the hour we heard from Linda Darling Hammond, who was co-author of the recent report from the Learning Policy Institute, A Coming Crisis in Teaching, Teacher Supply, Demand, and Shortages in the U.S. And we posted that report, or an NPR report on that study, on the Drake Herdeen Show Facebook page as well. Thanks to Brianne Chasso and to Kai Brito for producing this program. I'm Drake Herdeen. This is the Ideas Network.